Sokala Duma Radio.
Hello and welcome to Sokala Duma Radio. I am your host, Nkululeko Nkeu, and this is The Big Interview. And in this episode of The Big Interview, I bring you Bloemfontein Celtic defender Lorenzo Godinho. They have not lost in four games. They came back from behind against Kaizer Chiefs from 2-0 with only 15 minutes to go, and they drew the match 2-2. Lorenzo Godinho has kept three clean sheets for Bloemfontein Celtic. We speak to him about that, and also what you would like to hear is the loan move. He moved from Kaizer Chiefs to Bloemfontein Celtic, and halfway in that move, Kaizer Chiefs wanted him back. We speak to him about that. He says it was very, very close for him to go back to Bloemfontein Celtic. I hope you enjoyed the conversation and so much more that we spoke about.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Before we start the big interview, I just want to tell you that in this week's Sokala Duma newspaper, our editor Vuyani Joni will be speaking to Kaizer Chiefs defender Daniel Cardoso about his current form and his side's fortune so far this season. You don't want to miss that one. Grab yourself a copy for only R3.90. The Sokala Duma newspaper, every Wednesday, weekly. I'm now joined on the line by Kaizer Chiefs, but currently on loan to Bloemfontein Celtic defender, also Bafana Bafana defender, Lorenzo Godinho. Lorenzo, thank you very much for joining us on Sokala Duma Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks for yourself.
I'm good, man. I mean, a lot of our fans would have wanted to hear from you. Where is this coming from? I mean, four games unbeaten, three clean sheets. What's happening? What are you guys eating in Bloemfontein?
No, I just think that once Coach Steve got here, you know, he made his idea clear of what he wants us to do. And we've been working hard, you know, trying to get that right and trying to play as a team, work as a team. And I just think that the results are coming from hard work, you know.
We'll touch on Coach Steve as well. But before we get into the thick of things, I want you to talk about your goalkeeper. He recently was given an award for having 300 league appearances, which is excellent, and I'm sure it's record-breaking for Bloemfontein Celtic. Did you have a word or two, maybe on a lighter note, about his antics, about time-wasting?
I'm not sure in terms of that, but, you know, he's played 300 games for the club, and it's a big achievement, you know, for any player to achieve, especially at one team. You know, he's a regular player, and has good performances throughout. He's consistent, and I think that's very good for anyone, you know, for him. Been in the country for so long from Cameroon, and he's done well for himself and for his family, and I think it's a big achievement, you know, to reach 300 games in the PSL.
Yeah, but I'm sure you guys give him banter though, because Patrick Tinyemp is one of my favorite goalkeepers in the league, but I also know, because he's one of my favorite goalkeepers in the league, I also know that per game we will lose 5 minutes of him going down. Why is he so fragile? Like, is he made of glass?
No, man, he's got the experience, you know. He knows when to cool off the game, he knows when to rush it up a bit. And I think that experience comes in handy, you know, when we need it. You know, at times, you know, people don't always agree with it, but keepers all over the world do it these days, you know, because the game's changing. You know, we need to be more smart now. It's not like the old days where everything is rushed and everything is quick. These things come into play, you know. There's a lot of tactics, a lot of mental games, and I just think that he understands that and uses his experience when he feels that the team is under pressure, he feels that the players need to just regroup and think what they're going to do on the field.
All right, and then back into the thick of things then. I really, really appreciate your word. I'm sure you'll appreciate it as well. That is Patrick Tinyemp, the nice words you're saying about him. And I agree with you that you need to be able to manage the game when you're drawing or when you're winning. Now, your game against Kaizer Chiefs, I want to understand the mentality of being able to come back from 2-0 down with 15 minutes to go. As to where does that come from? What did you guys say to yourselves? Did you know? I'm sure Coach Steve has said that you guys never gave up and you knew that you could come back. And Bongani Sam confirmed that as well when he was given the Man of the Match award. But I mean, honestly speaking, when you're there with only 14, 15 minutes left, did you know that you could always come back, score two goals in 15 minutes?
I think the main thing was the belief. You know, the guys, we were disappointed to concede those two goals because we went into the game of the mentality to win the game. So when I went 2-0 down, it was just having a belief to continue playing and to get goals. And, you know, and we got those two goals and we did miss a few chances, which I thought we should have taken. But, you know, the results passed away, a draw 2-2, coming from behind. I think it was a good performance from the team.
Let's talk about Bafana Bafana a little bit. We'll come back to Celtic and your good form. The squad was announced, and it was announced by coach Stuart Baxter on the back of you having like three back-to-back clean sheets before conceding against Kaizer Chiefs. Given your excellent form recently, were you upset that you were not called up to the squad for the qualifiers?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always a player's ambition and one of mine to be in the national team setup. And obviously not being in the squad does taint you a bit, but it's not the end of the world. You know, it just gives you that thing to say, you know, to keep on working harder and keep on doing the right things, and then you will get that opportunity again.
Would you say that because of your performances that you would have expected to be there?
You can't really expect, you know, because the national team coach has a plan for the players that he wants, and sometimes that if you're not in a stand, it doesn't mean that you're not a good player or you're not wanted. It's just that for the game or the upcoming game, you pick that squad.
All right. And was there any word for final one on the Bafana Bafana? Was there any word from the coach regarding your non-inclusion, perhaps a WhatsApp to say that I'm looking at you, keep on performing?
No, there wasn't any word.
All right. Is there anything that you think you should improve personally, though, perhaps to boost your chances of being included in next time?
I just think consistency, you know, because if the team is doing well and we're consistent and performances are consistent, there's no way that we can be excluded from the squad. You know, for myself, I just think that's the most important thing. If you want to be a part of the national team, be consistent in your club performances. And when you get there, be consistent again so that you get recalled, you know.
And, you know, before your first game against Chipa United, which you won 2-0, I listened to a lot of radio, of my colleagues on radio, and TV as well. Some of my colleagues, they wrote Celtic off, because generally we usually ask people, what do you think is going to win the league? Where do you think is going to be relegated? Celtic was written off mainly because of the turmoil that was happening at that time, because there had been players that were not paid. Maybe 8 of them were not paid. A lot was going on about the change of ownership. How do you think, what do you think made you guys turn around and give you these kind of performances? What happened behind the scenes to help you guys forget about everything else and help you perform?
I just think at the time the club was going through a lot of changes. So then it was difficult as players to keep consistent and keep stable. But, you know, when coach came, he said that I'm with you guys and we're going to get through this. And he also just made us believe that even though it's a bad situation, doesn't mean that we have to perform badly. You know, we can take this situation and change it on the field. And that's what we did and that's what we've been doing.
But you do understand that if some of your colleagues were also involved in not being paid, others getting paid, that would have destabilized the team. So it would have taken a great effort from any manager to galvanize the team, don't you think?
No, you did. You came in as a father figure and you kept us all together, even though, you know, there was separation in terms of payment. But all the guys stuck together, you know, they were for one another. So it doesn't mean if one got paid and one didn't, that we were separated. You know, everyone stuck together until the battle was sold. And we just carried on working.
Well, you've probably debunked it now. Due to your performances, you've probably shattered the perception. But the perception was there that when you left Kaizer Chiefs at the beginning of the year, Coach Steve was there and you left because he didn't want you there. However, you are working with him now. You're doing so well with him now and he's playing you as a main number 5. So can you speak to that perception that perhaps Coach Steve did not want you at Kaizer Chiefs?
What happened was, with me and Coach Steve at Chiefs, you know, it was a different time, a different situation, a different club, you know. And what happened, I can't carry that over into now, you know, because if we had ended on like worse terms, maybe I wouldn't have been playing now or I wouldn't have been here, you know. But me as a person, I can't hold grudges, and him himself, he's a professional. So what happened there happened there, and now we're working together again and things are going well. You know, I know what he expects of me and of the players, and I'm trying to help them understand and make it easier for him to get his message across to the guys, and I just think it's going well.
All right, so would you say that yes, there was bad blood, but now there's water under the bridge?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it bad blood. I just think that it was a different time and a different decision, you know, because me and coach have a good understanding and a relationship, and I think that just happened at the time where decisions were made, and you know, they had to be made, and I just think that we can't regret those decisions because they were made. So what happened, happened, and now we're in a different place and things are going well.
All right. And then let's talk about the transfer window. Are you glad that perhaps we are coming to, it's coming to a close and that you can now focus on the field of play?
Yeah, I'm glad, you know, because the transfer window is always up and down, you know, hearing transfers, hearing different things every day. And I'm glad that it's going to quieten down now and everyone can focus on what they have to do.
Yeah, the reason why I'm asking you that is because I'm sure you know that you're probably one of the most trending people in the country right now in terms of the transfer window. Talk to us about the background of Chiefs wanting to take you back in the middle of your loan. How close did it come for you to go back there? And what happened behind the scenes?
I can tell you, it came very close, you know, because Chiefs are the club that owns me. And I just think that they wanted me to come back. But I also signed an agreement here in Bloemfontein to keep me till December. So it came down to the contractual side of the whole situation. So I think that's the main thing. And Celtic assured me that, you know, they want me to stay and they're gonna keep my contract here until I finish it.
And when you say it came very close, one then is tempted to ask, was there a day within the past 14 days where you felt like you are going to be a Chiefs player tomorrow again?
Yeah, there were those days, a few of them. But, you know, through all of that, it was just, how do I say, keep it professional. You know, because I had to still go to training. We still had games. I still had to be a part of the team. So I just had to keep it professional, you know. I spoke to the coach regularly. I spoke to Celtic regularly to see what was going on. Because the matter was above me. It was in the office, you know. So they assured me that, you know, even though Chiefs do want me back, they still want me to honour my contract. And then it was above me, so I decided that I'm going to honour the contract because that was the first option. You know, I had no other option to do. There's nothing I can say because it's a contractual thing. And Chiefs, I don't know how the situation would have worked to get me released from the contract. They would have had to agree with Celtic, but Celtic said that they wanted to stay.
All right. But it would have been interesting, though, because the team that you are with now is at number two. Granted, it's only four games, but it's at number two. And the team that wants you back, which owns you at the moment, is in the bottom 10. So does that mean that you are the reason why these teams, the fact that you are not a Chiefs is the reason why they're struggling, and the fact that you are a Celtic is the reason why they're doing so well?
Yo, that's a big statement to make. I just feel like if my performances do benefit the team, I mean, that's all I can ask for, you know. This is not a sole thing where I'm alone on the field, you know, it's with the team. So if my performances here are helping Celtic and doing well, then we'll take it as that, you know. But I can't say that's a big statement to make.
But without Lorenzo Godinho, Chiefs are struggling in the centre-back pairing. But I'm not going to let you say that. That is the perception out there. That is the perception out there. All right, in wrapping up then, the final few questions that I have for you, and I really, really appreciate you speaking to us and the fans out there would love to hear from you as well. Now, you defeated Orlando Pirates 1-0. You kept a clean sheet against Orlando Pirates. You are a Kaizer Chiefs diehard at heart, so that would have been satisfying. You came from 2-0 down against Kaizer Chiefs a week later and you drew 2-2 with them. What was more satisfying for you, beating arch rivals Orlando Pirates on behalf of Chiefs for Celtic or coming back against Chiefs with 15 minutes to go and drawing 2-2 with them?
Are you asking which one was felt better?
Exactly.
I think beating Pirates, you know, because you got the win. I think if I can say either one, I think beating Pirates, you know, because still in my heart, I take it as a derby game, and I wouldn't like to lose to Pirates on any day.
So you're still a diehard Corsi at heart?
Yeah, I'm still. It's a part of me. There's no way I can get rid of it.
All right, and then last one, Lorenzo. How has the new ownership changed the way in which then Celtic operates? Can you just give us an update on that your colleagues are now paid on time, everything now is working smoothly?
It changed quickly, you know, but obviously a lot of the things are still need to be changed and ownership would deal with that, but it's just brought like peace and harmony and like happiness into the team, you know, things are sorted and we don't have to stress about those sort of things anymore and everything's taken care of. So it's brought a big confidence to the team. And I just think that the guys are happy with that.
Lorenzo, we thank you very much for speaking to us on Soccer Laduma Radio. We wish you the best of luck throughout the season.
Okay, thank you so much.
And we thank you very much for listening to the big interview with myself and Lorenzo Godinho. I hope you enjoyed the chat. For more of this episode, go to www.sokaladuma.co.za. For now, from me, it is goodbye.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.